Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our very first podcast of the year, PJ's Pancakes and Prayer. It's a chance for us to reflect back on the year that was while seeking Jesus for the year that will be in 2024. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road at 10:30 a.m. or visit us on our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading and enjoy today's podcast.
As we are concluding our season of Advent, it really puts us in this space of new expectation, that there was an expectation of the first coming of Jesus. Wouldn't that be miraculous if God would come in human form? It was a prayer of King David in the Old Testament. Wouldn't it be amazing if you showed up even in human form? Well, King David had no idea what he was prophesying in that prayer, but he did. It's exactly what Jesus did. And so we anticipated his coming, and then he lived his life. And he died on a cross, and he was buried in a grave, and he resurrected and ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and then he promised, I am coming again. So the Advent continues. We wait in this space between the kingdom that is already, because Jesus is present with us, and the kingdom that is not yet. But when we wait with anticipation, when we wait with focus, when we wait believing that Jesus is coming, it changes the way that we live today. When we believe that he is coming and that his life makes a difference, and the news of the grace that is available through Jesus is good news for all people, it changes our priorities. It changes our focus. And even Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. Anyone got at least one or two troubles going on right now? You'll have a chance to reflect on that in a few minutes. Because I want us to reframe the way that we look at our trouble again. This is a regular reframing because we are sheep and we will wander astray. Living sacrifices have this funny way of crawling off the altar. A living sacrifice will crawl right off that altar, and I will do the same. Because to live a devoted, disciplined life in Jesus is painful sometimes in the moment. It's hard to follow the ways of the Lord, and we keep crawling off, and by his grace we keep getting back on, and that's the way it goes with us and the Lord. But as Christian was reflecting on the second coming of Jesus, my mind reflected back a chapter to Revelation 21, where it says that the Lord will come, and at the end of all the riffraff, essentially, that's a paraphrase, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Like a father getting down in front of a child. You ever seen a child when they've just thrown a pretty colossal temper tantrum? Right? And the tears and the blotchy eyes and the runny nose and the whole bit. And the Lord just gets down in front of us. The word says that he just wipes every tear away from our eyes. So whatever hardships we endure, the Lord says, take heart. I have overcome the world. He's going to come up to our little sniffly faces and get down in front of us. And it says, it promises, just like he promised he'd come the first time. By that way, oh, that's how I know he's coming a second time. Because 700 years before his birth, it was prophesied that he would come, and he came. The same scriptures tell us he's coming again. Anyone want to believe otherwise? I'm not betting on anything else but Jesus. And him coming again. And so at the end of every year, I think it's good practice as a follower of Jesus to take inventory of what has been. Whether we're 8 years old or 88 years old or 93 years old, it's good to stop and say, Lord, if I'm a good steward of the things that you've given me, I got to keep track of it, just like a good store owner would keep track of the things in his store or her store. We keep track of the way that we've lived, and we say, Lord, what is the blessing? For what can we say, hallelujah, our God reigns? And where can we say, create in me a new heart, Lord, and search me to find if there's any offensive way in me that I might realign with you? And then what would you have for me that might be different than what I would have for myself? I don't think there's anything wrong with having a plan. I am passionate about having a plan for the life that God has given me. I just know I got to hold that plan with open hands because he might change it. So we're going to take a few minutes and do that this morning. I want to go to Mark 1, 35 through 39. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture about Jesus. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark. Right now, this time of year, it can be really late in the morning and it's still dark. But imagine it's summertime and Jesus is being real disciplined. He's getting up early when it's still dark. It says, Jesus got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I want to show you a picture of what it looks like when it's dark in the Galilee. This is it. I got to go to the Galilee at the beginning of this year, and I took this Bible, and I read that passage of Scripture, which is one of my favorites. I thought if there's a time better than other to read this Scripture, it's the one time I'm going to be in Galilee. And this is the balcony where I sat, and I read that verse very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I'm like, it's kind of fun to get to sit where Jesus did that. It goes on to say, Simon and his companions went out to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. You ever have a morning like that where everybody just needs you too fast and too early, and the coffee ain't on yet, but everybody's looking for you? Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. See, Jesus had a plan. He knew what he was doing there. He had a purpose. He knew that he had come to preach the good news. So it says he traveled throughout the Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. That's what he did. Here's a picture of what it looks like when the sun comes up in that same exact spot. And I'm like, wow, I get it, Jesus. That's why you got up early. And I imagine it must have looked a little bit like that by the time that Simon found him, because it would have been hard to find Jesus in the dark without a flashlight. He is the light of the world, so maybe he was glowing. Who knows? But King Jesus, Simon went, who is Peter, and his companions went off to look for him when they found him. Again, everyone is looking for you, Jesus. See, Jesus' ministry geographically played out around this lake, this freshwater sea called the Sea of Galilee. Down here we have Jerusalem. Right here we have Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, just outside of Jerusalem. Up here we have Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And then we have the Sea of Galilee, and right up on the north edge there is a town called Capernaum. And that's where Jesus spent a lot of his time. But that little itty-bitty lake right up there at the top is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's surrounded by these cascading foothills. Zach, if we could go back to that other picture of the sunrise. It's got these cascading foothills all the way around. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. These mountains crest up here probably about 700 or 800 feet above sea level, cascading down the other way to the Mediterranean Sea. So there's like a 1,400 foot drop all the way around into this basin, which is the sea where Jesus lived and where he rode the boat and where he walked on water and where he called the fishermen to follow him and fish for people. On one edge is Syria, to the north is Lebanon, to the west is the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus centered his ministry in this town of Capernaum, which is on the northwest side of the lake. And again, it says very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You see, people were looking for Jesus, Anna. They were looking for him. They got up and they were searching for Jesus. And people were looking for him. And because they were looking for Jesus, Jesus knew that it was important that he spend time with the Father. Even though people needed him, he said, I need to go off before the sun comes up because Simon will find me when the light comes up. But before that, I got to get with the Father. How come? Why was Jesus doing this? We hear that he does this in the Gospel of Mark. We see a portion of it in the Gospel of Luke and then also in Matthew. But John's Gospel tells us this. In 15:19 through 21, he says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Jesus says this about himself. I can't do anything unless I see the Father do it first. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Everything the Father does and everything the Father intends is revealed to the Son. And yes, he will show him even greater things than these so that you will be amazed. John 15:21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it to. The big surprise, the big reveal when Jesus came was that his love would be for every single person from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, even their enemies. And if we go back to that map, very little has changed about Israel's proximity to their enemies. And it's a good thing that Jesus said, guess what? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He was going to give his love away to every person, even enemies, especially enemies. I'm 43 years old. I've discovered a few things about my life in that amount of time. And as it pertains to faith, I know this, that I love to get up and be about the Father's work that he has put in front of me. And oftentimes I love to do it before I sit with him because I just feel compelled to respond to needs. And it's really easy for me to say, I got it from here, Jesus. I'm good. Thank you for that. And off I go. But Jesus models, if the King of all creation must sit with the Father, who am I to not? As I grow as a disciple in Jesus, I am growing in this discipline to sit and get instruction from my Maker before I go meet with his created. To those who need his love, I realize that apart from him, I can do nothing. This passage resonates with me because we know that when Jesus got up in the dark that morning near the sea, he knew that people would be looking for him. Jesus was wiser, even in the midst of needs, even in the midst of people needing stuff from him. Jesus was wiser. He knew that if he didn't get alone with the Father, he would have nothing of substance to offer the people who sought him. I got a picture of my friend up here. That's Pablo. Pablo he's a cool dude. He reminds me of Jesus. He's humble. He's a hardworking professor and a carpenter. He can build houses, like fast, in Tijuana, and then Tecate, and in other places where he's served as a professor in Southern California of Christian scriptures, but he's been swinging a hammer for the most part of the last couple decades, like Jesus. And so when our family would travel to serve with Baja Christian Ministries, families in Tecate and in Tijuana would work for years to save up money for a property. And when they bought their property, Baja Christian Ministries would come in and help the family with the construction of that home. But it was a mutual effort. The family's serving. The team is serving. Pablo's serving. He's swinging hammers. He can build these houses in his sleep. But he's humble. And so when we're building these houses down in Baja before the pandemic, Pablo would meet us at the hotel and he'd give us the plan for the day. And when he was finished with his preview for the day, he would always say, okay, team, now let's go rush off in our own strength. And I'd be like, okay, let's go. And he'd be like, wait, we should pray first. My propensity to rush off in my own strength started to diminish when I met Pablo because that just stuck with me, that we do not rush off in our own strength. Whether it's to build a house or plant a church or whatever it is, go to work, teach a class, raise some kids, we cannot do it in our own strength. And I haven't talked to Pablo in years. We were there before, our last trip to go there was canceled. We were set to go right before the pandemic hit. We haven't been back. Well, last night I just sent him an email and I said, Pablo, I'm going to feature you tomorrow as kind of an example of someone who's helped me grow in my faith. I miss you. I'd love to connect with you. And by the time I woke up this morning, he'd responded. He goes, you free at 9 tomorrow morning? It was just kind of fun because the Lord brings these people, and it's been years since we spoke, but I got a phone appointment with Pablo tomorrow morning at 9. But it was Pablo that taught me that running off in my own strength is not the best idea. So when Jesus got up that morning and he left before the sun came up and went out to a dark place where it was quiet and he could pray, I wondered, what was Jesus praying about? Because it doesn't tell us, so we can't know for sure. But it makes me wonder, what do you think he was praying about when he got up early that morning and people needed him, but he knew that he needed the Father? I think to a certain extent, we know from John 17, that would suggest that he was spending some of that time praying for us, his future disciples. He prayed for his disciples' disciples, and then he prayed for his future disciples, that we would be his active presence in the world. And as a people who would be defined in part by our resolve to eat together, pray together, play together and study his word, we would hope that being still would be a part of that equation somewhere. And so that's what we're going to do for a few minutes. I'm going to lead you through a guided exercise here, and you can write some stuff down or you don't have to, but at the start of the top of this page, sometimes I think also Jesus prayed for us. He prayed that we would be one as the body of Christ and that we would be filled with his Spirit. And I think Jesus probably took an inventory, constantly coming back to the Father and saying, do I still align? Is the life that I'm walking still in alignment with your life? Some of his days were probably really hard. Jesus was human, which means it's okay that Jesus got frustrated. In fact, we see him getting frustrated with his disciples a lot. We see him get frustrated with church leaders a lot. We see him flipping tables sometimes. And we see him asking questions like, how long is it going to take you people to figure this out, for crying out loud? Jesus was always kind, but I don't necessarily think it always came across real nice. Right? If we look at his words, there's emotion in it. He got frustrated because he cares. He cares. I think Jesus took good inventory, and that's what we're going to do. As followers of Jesus, we're going to just keep realigning our lives with him. And so we're going to spend a few minutes, and I just want you to sit in silence. We're not even going to turn any music on, so we're just going to sit together in silence. We're going to think on these things. Where did Jesus show up in your story in 2023? Before we flip the calendar to a new year, where did he show up this last year? Where did Jesus show up in the stillness? Where did he show up in your experiences with Scripture? With prayer? With worship? With reflection? Where did Jesus show up? Where did he show up in the relationships you have with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, and even strangers? Some of the best interactions I think that we as Jesus followers can have with other people is our interactions with total strangers. People you didn't know before you knew them. Strangers become neighbors according to the gospel, because a neighbor is anyone that you share a defined amount of space and a defined amount of time with. It doesn't say how much. But it could be your FedEx driver, could be your Starbucks barista, could be the person that cut you off, could be the person you cut off, could be the person with an entirely different political persuasion that's flying a sign on the side of the road. Where did Jesus show up this year in your places of investment? So if it's school, if it's work, if it's the place where you volunteer and give your time, where did Jesus show up where you were given your time, given your best gift to the world? Where did Jesus show up in your rest when you were just doing something for fun, for recreation, in creation? Where did he show up? Take a few minutes. Think through those four areas. My admonishment for this church always in this dead week, kind of between Christmas and New Year's, is take some time for this. There is no week like the week between Christmas and New Year's where things just kind of go. You don't even remember what day it is. All week long, I didn't even know what day it was. It's a good time to sit. So take more time with these things. Good way to help, scroll back through your text messages with people that you are close with. What'd they tell you? How'd they encourage you? How did you encourage them? Look through your pictures. Look through your emails if you do that. That's what I do. I do a full inventory of those things, and I just remember how good the Lord has been. So when we've taken time to give a hallelujah, to thank the Lord for what has been, I would often find for believers in Jesus that it is an embarrassment of riches, especially in this group. People long for one healthy, viable relationship in this world. Like, look around. It's an embarrassment of riches in the relationships that he's given us. It really is. Secondly, when you look back on 2023, where do you see opportunities for repentance? You know what we wouldn't need if we had time machines?
Yeah.
We wouldn't need apologies. That's what we wouldn't need. We don't got time machines. We got grace. We got the grace of Jesus. Where can you receive forgiveness from the Lord? That's what we're going to take for a minute here and just do for a second. Where can you receive forgiveness to the Lord? Where might you owe an apology? And to whom could you extend forgiveness to? So let's just take a minute. The scripture here, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lord, come and search us if there's something that is offensive Let us offer that up to you, God. We ask that you would pour your grace out upon us. Lord, help us to imagine how those things could be different. Lord, if we owe apologies, if we need to extend forgiveness, Lord, give us a plan for that, that we could end this year square in our relationships with people. Just take a few minutes and just let the Lord speak to you about this year. What are you excited about? Write some things down that you're excited about. What are you excited about in this year to come? What are you nervous about? Where are there uncertainties? Maybe it's not even bad, you just don't know. Like, we got this kid going to college in September. I don't know where she's going. She doesn't know where she's going. The Lord does. How are we going to pay for all that? I don't know, the Lord knows. What is it that we're anxious about that we don't have answers for? When's the FAFSA website going to open? It was supposed to open at midnight. It's not open yet. How am I going to apply? This morning, right? I'm just trying to make this very practical for us. There's always things that we're thinking about. The Lord knows. He knows. What are you excited about? What are you nervous about? What questions do you have? Get curious. Jesus, remember we figured out at the family retreat that he asked like 304 different questions in the Gospels? Jesus was curious. What are you curious about concerning what the Lord will do with your life in 2024? Get curious. What scares you? What are you afraid of? I mean, I don't know what the Mariners are going to do if they don't sign a few more free agents. It's the big things and the little things. But what can we take to Jesus? What can we freshly surrender to him? And how can we let him lead us? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He knew the crowds were looking to him, and so he knew he had to look to the Father. As spirit-filled followers of Jesus, who are salt and light, I guarantee you there are people who are looking at your life with curiosity. What will you have to offer them this year by way of what the Father has offered you? I imagine that Jesus probably had some sort of sheet like this. It's probably in Hebrew or Aramaic. But I'm sure he had something like this, and I imagine that this made up the nature of his conversations with the Lord. There was substance there. He wrestled with these things. Sometimes I wonder if he wondered if why the woman wouldn't stop bleeding for 12 years. Why the kids kept passing away. Why everyone wanted to take his life. Like, I think he just wondered really human things. But he did it from a divine position. He did it the way his Father modeled, which was to get away and get to quiet places and be with him. That's what we can do as little Christs. That's what it means to be Christian. Be like Christ. So again, if we're 8 years old or 12 years old or 15 or 35 or 43 or 88. Like, we're still together following Jesus. And you're not alone. Like, look at this. Look at this. Look at this embarrassment of riches of relationship. This is our family in Christ. So, Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the space at the Village on Casino Road where we can gather. God, we thank you for the food that was provided. We thank you for the grill that lit. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for this family. We thank you for everything that has been, the ups and the downs. We thank you for the high times and the low times that are going to come in 2024. Lord, we know that some of those moments were probably going to be all pouty and sniffy. We'll have those moments in our souls. And Jesus, you're just going to lean right down next to us and you're going to wipe those tears from our eyes. And you're going to promise again that although in this world we will have trouble, that we are to take heart because you have overcome the world. God, I pray that in the next few days we would each find time to get away where it's dark, which is not hard this time of year to find time when it's dark. But to get away, that's the harder thing, to just get away to a quiet place and pray. God, by the power of your Spirit, we know that you will speak to us, you will lead us, you will guide us. God, I pray that you would even give us courage to share some of the revelations you give us that come from this devotional exercise or another and share with at least one person. So we're not alone in the ups and the downs and the fears and the worries and the excitement, Lord, that we can walk with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.